Good morning to you all. In case I haven't met you, my name is Daniel. I'm one of the ministry staff here at St. George's, and it's my pleasure to be able to open God's Word with us this morning. I might pray that God is going to help me do that. So will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you that we've come to that time of year that we can remember that Jesus is coming again. Please help us remember all through the year this reality, this truth, that we might be ready. And please help me as I speak your word this morning, that I might be clear and faithful to your word, and for all of us that we might have ears to hear it and hearts to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a few years back when I was still working in advertising, I had to do some groups, you know, some focus groups, they call them, in Melbourne. And we had brought with us, or I had brought with me, someone who had come along looking for a job, and he was very diligent, and he really wanted to impress, so that at the end of the period, you know, we'd say, oh, well done, would you like a job? Now, I wasn't in charge of giving him the job, so I had no authority there. But he came with me to this focus group in Melbourne, and we did the focus groups. They went well. They were for an advertisement that was going to be on TV at that time. And of course, trying to cut costs and everything, we booked our plane back to Sydney from Melbourne at some hour, like 4:30 a.m. or something, which meant that we had to be on a taxi way earlier than that, which meant that I had to sleep well the night before and everything like that. And of course, I'm a pretty easygoing, relaxed kind of guy. And I thought, oh, I'll just make sure that a cab's going to turn up at the right time and my alarm will go off and I'll get on the thing. Well, let us just say I slept through whatever alarm I'd set, and I'm not sure if the cab driver came at all. In the end, I had to run to my dad and wake him up and say, Dad, can you drive me to the airport? And I get to the airport and there is the diligent person who wants the job there going, where are you? And here is the person who works in the job going, oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, we ran and ran and ran. We managed to get the flight. We could all breathe a sigh of relief. But what had happened was I wasn't keeping watch. I wasn't being awake, wasn't staying awake. I wasn't being careful. And so, actually, very nearly, someone who was with me nearly missed out on getting that plane. Now, did they get the job? You can ask me after, and I'll tell you. In addressing our passage today, we've got to remind ourselves of the question the disciples asked Jesus, right? We're moving on from what we talked about last week in Luke 21, and now we're moving to Matthew 24, where Jesus' big point is, keep watch, stay awake, keep watch. Why? Because I'm coming, and I'm coming at an hour when you don't expect. All right, so what has happened is they are all walking around the temple grounds, and this is a scale model of the temple. Has anyone been to Israel, by the way? Yes, we've got it. So maybe some of you have seen this scale model, maybe. They're walking around and they're seeing these magnificent buildings and they're pointing them out to Jesus. And Jesus says to them, do you see all these things? All these things. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left one upon the other. Every one will be thrown down. And you would remember last week we talked a little bit about this. And about, yes, that the temple was destroyed. And Mike made the point that every last little bit, other than maybe the few stones of the retaining wall, were thrown down. But in large part, yes, the temple and its surrounds were all thrown to the ground. And what Jesus does is he goes on and he's sitting on the Mount of Olives. This is the view from the Mount of Olives. What do you think you could see where that orange dome is currently? What could you see from that vantage point? The temple. You could see the temple. Has anyone been to the Mount of Olives? Okay, yes, fantastic. And you would know that the olive trees lining the fence over here, so I'm told, come from the Mount of Olives. So as we leave the service, you can go and wander and see those trees and remind yourself of these words Jesus says. Now, as they're sitting there and they're looking out across the cityscape, seeing the temple ahead of them, they say to Jesus, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Now, maybe to the disciples, they were just asking one big complicated question, right? Or maybe to you and I, we hear three questions. What will be the sign of these things, the destruction of the temple? And what will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the end of days? But the way Jesus answers the question makes it clear that he's actually got two things in mind, because he answers in two parts. He answers in two parts. And those two questions that it seems like Jesus is answering is, one, when will the temple fall? All these things, right? And what is the sign of your return at the end of the age? Last week, Mike largely dealt with the first question, when will the temple fall? And this week, we're going to be largely thinking about that second half, but they do intertwine a little bit. And just to give you an idea of the timeline of events, I'm not sure if you can see up on the screen, but Jesus' words were, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. And I don't know how long a generation is, but let's give them 40 years. I think if they're about 30 years old or so, perhaps they would have lived till around 70. And look, you can see in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. We can see Mark was written in AD 40s, Luke and Matthew in the 60s. So these words that Jesus spoke ahead of time actually occurred. The temple was destroyed. Now, if you are a liberal scholar, you don't think that Mark and Matthew and Luke were written when I've put them up there. When do you think they were written? After AD 70. Why do you think that? Well, the reason you think that is because you don't think predictive prophecy is real. People look at this text and they think they knew what they shouldn't have known. Therefore, they must have been written later. Okay, I disagree. I actually think that the dating of these books is reliable. Jesus spoke of the destruction of the temple ahead of time, and it happened. And if we go back to our question, what were they? Well, what did Jesus say? When will the temple fall? His answer is, within your lifetime. And then he goes on to talk about the sign of his return. In beginning to discuss this second question, Jesus offers a small parable which we'll briefly look at, and it comes with an imperative. Learn the lesson of the fig tree. Learn the lesson of the fig tree. Here's what he says. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Okay, so you can see that he's talking about two things again, isn't he? The twigs coming out and summer being near. The twigs, all these things, and then knowing that something is near, right? Right at the door. He mentions two events. If we map it against our questions, the twigs getting tender and the leaves coming out, that's event number one. Summer is near. That's event number two. If we map it against our questions, really it is these two things. When will the temple fall, the twigs coming out? And when will summer be coming? When will summer be near? Well, he says, Jesus' return in the end of the age. And the idea is that one set of events happening lets us know that the next is imminent. It's near. He says, even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. If I'm right, this is what he means. It means that Jesus meant that this generation, the generation of those he's speaking to, would not pass away until the great desolation, the great distress of the Roman siege on Jerusalem, where 1.1 million people died, the temple was destroyed, and the artifacts were taken away. You might not be able to see it, but up at the top, we've got a picture that the Romans created that they put on the Titus Arch. Maybe you've seen it. You can see it in Rome, where they have a depiction of the Romans having conquered Jerusalem, carrying away everything from the temple. if I'm right, all these things happened in AD 70, around 40 years after Jesus spoke. After all, he said, this generation won't pass away until these things happen. And since that time, summer has been near. Now, what I'm not saying is that there might be some greater fulfillment of this in the future. That might happen. In fact, even as we heard last week, there is a part of the temple that still stands. The retaining wall, the wailing wall, they call it. And that could stand as a testimony till the end of time when it's finally knocked down and then, boom, the end comes. But I think Jesus' point, even if that is true, all those things, Jesus' point is that summer is near and you won't know the day, the time, or the hour when I return. You won't know. Now, you might have thought, well, I've seen summer happen and spring comes before it, and usually spring happens and then boom, summer's here. I think Jesus' point is that not in terms of time, but in things that need to happen, Jesus is ready to come. Summer was near for Jesus' hearers 2,000 years ago. Summer was near as the reformers read their scriptures and read. They read this. Summer was near. Summer was near when Augustine commented on these words 1,700 years ago, and he said, summer is near. In fact, we'll read some of his words a little later. And summer is near for us today. If I'm right, you and I better be learning the lesson of the fig tree. We better be ready not tomorrow, but today for Jesus' return. Why? Why now? Why not tomorrow? Well, because no one knows the timing of what Jesus calls that day. No one knows. So if you've figured it out and you know when Jesus is going to return, either the day or the hour, well, Jesus says, actually, about that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, these words, these are the words that I've taken straight from St. Augustine. These words, that day or hour, no one knows, he says, must not be understood to imply the possibility of knowing the year or the decade or the century. Otherwise, Jesus may have said, the day I can tell you, these are my words, the day I can tell you, but the hour I don't know. But he says neither the day nor the hour. You know, this is what would happen. If you or I knew the approximate time of Jesus' return, I'll tell you what we would do. The same thing I do every Tuesday, okay? Let me tell you about Tuesday. During the week, Kat and I and our three kids, we live in some form of livable mess. Let's call it that. You know, where everything is basically fine, but, you know, we are okay with a little bit of mess around the house. And then Tuesday comes and I think, okay, I should get around to clearing everything up. And then 5 o'clock comes and say, well, I'll get the kids ready and do dinner and everything. And then I think 6:30 comes and I think, okay, everyone's coming in just a moment. I'll get up and I get to my feet and I race around and Kat helps and we quickly make sure the benches are tidy and everything's vacuumed and everything is ready before a cascade of young adults come into our house for Bible study. If we knew when Jesus would return would be, even approximately, well, you and I could just live our lives the way we like without reference to Jesus. And then when the time is approaching, quick, let's get ourselves in order and ready for Jesus' return. And you know, some people do that not just with Jesus' return, but with their own coming death. And I know my grandfather said something along these lines at one point. He says, on my deathbed, then I'll get right with Jesus. But the reality is, not only do we not know when Jesus is going to return, but we also don't know when our own end is going to come. And Jesus' point in this section of Scripture is that we are not going to know. Not even remotely. Look at verses 38 and following. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, Noah knew something, didn't he? God said to Noah, build me a boat and start gathering animals, right? But God didn't say, it's going to come in 3 years' time on this particular day. Be ready for that. No, he built the ark and he waited. He began gathering the animals. And then God said, get in the ark, now's the time. Note, it's not saying anything about the evil in the days of Noah, like it's going to get more and more evil. No, it just says that people are going about life as per normal. Eating and drinking, people eat and drink today. People marrying and giving in marriage, people do that today. Will they tomorrow? Probably. You know, most people are not thinking about Jesus' return. Most people are not concerned with it. In Noah's day, it was the same. Noah's building his boat. People may have seen him. Maybe people would have called him a doomsday prepper or something like that, busy at his boat. They would have had their thoughts. What's he doing gathering all these animals? Then all of a sudden, the flood came and what? Took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Now, either this means taken into paradise, or given the comparison with Noah's story, taken into judgment. Either way, the point is you won't know. You won't know. No one knows. And therefore, Jesus makes his point, keep watch. Keep watch. Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Therefore, keep watch. Keep watch because your mum will come at the third hour? No. Keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Now, I do remember keeping my laptop in my car, and I did it just on one occasion. Bad decision. You know, what happened was, on that particular night, someone came down our street, going into every car, breaking in the car, and they broke into my car. They smashed the window. And they looked under the seat and they took my laptop away. It was brand new at the time and I was very disappointed. Here's what Jesus says. Understand this. If the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, let alone the day, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So if you expect the Son of Man to come at any particular hour, well, simply put, he's probably not going to come at that hour. See, a thief's work relies on the owner not knowing when they're going to be there. Okay, now, I wish the thief had put on our door something like this. Will arrive between midnight and 3 a.m. to steal laptop. You know, then I would have been there, or at least I would have removed my laptop on that. I wish they did. You know, I wish at least they would have checked to see whether the doors were unlocked, which they were, which was another mistake. But no, they didn't check whether the door was open. They smashed the window. So I had to pay for the laptop being stolen, and I also had to pay for the car window being stolen, being broken. If I'd known the day that the thief would come, I would have kept my laptop in my car every night of the week except that one. Okay? Jesus' point is not that you would just relax, wait for the signs, and then be ready. No, you and I have to be ready today, tomorrow, the next day. The people living 1900 years ago after the fall of Jerusalem, they had to be ready, keeping watch for Jesus' return. R.A. Torrey was a Bible teacher from way back, and he wrote a book called Jesus is Coming for You. My mum gave me this book, my mum at the front here. She gave me this book, and I read it, and I enjoyed it. And the book is about, you guessed it, Jesus' return. Okay. And in the book, he makes a striking example of what it means to be ready for Jesus' return and what it means to keep watch. And I've modified it slightly. But say a man is at home, okay, while his spouse is out at a conference for a few days. What difference does it make that the man longs for his spouse's return? If he longed for her return home, he might even vacuum the carpets before she gets, maybe regularly, you know, knowing that should she come this afternoon or tomorrow, she'll come home to nice clean carpets because he knows she likes the carpets clean. He'll make sure the dishes are not all stacked up in the sink. You know, wouldn't it be nice for her to come home to a nice clean kitchen? He might even make sure, if he were the especially thoughtful kind, and shout out to my stepfather Sunil, he might keep a fresh vase of flowers in ready so that when she comes home, she's greeted with the fragrance of fresh flowers. I'm sad to say, I'm not that guy, but I hope to be. You know what? He might even look down the street and think, is that her car coming? Maybe it'll be the next one. But think, on the other hand, of the flirtatious man. What does he long for? Does he long for his absent spouse to return home? Or after she's been gone for a while, does he hope that she'll be a ways off yet? Maybe a little longer still. Does he think about her at all? In the same way, the person who flirts with the world, does he long for the return of his Lord? The dangerous question for you and I is this: when Jesus returns, will he find us keeping watch or flirting with the world? Well, what does it mean to keep watch? Well, it means for us to be ready for Jesus' return, making the necessary preparations for his return. What are they? Well, simply being right with God, being made right with him. In fact, Jesus has done all the preparations. We just need to get with Jesus. You might say it's living for God and his purposes. Yes, here on a Sunday, but as we go out into the week, at work, it might mean speaking to God in prayer, developing our relationship with him, reading his word. I know someone who comes to the 8:30 service who told me that regularly before every job that he does, there's something that he does, he prays. He says, God, may your will be done in this particular job. Some of us might be thinking, well, I just want to live my own life now, and then later I'll take all this Jesus stuff seriously. But if we take this text seriously, Jesus wants to say, well, what if there is no later? I had a friend a while back who became Christian, and his parents said, I'm glad you have faith. You have a faith, that's fantastic, but just don't take it too seriously. Well, if summer is near, how seriously should we take it? Jesus seemed to say that life will go on like normal, and then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. It seems like Jesus is also clear that there's a clear division, one from the other. Those that are his and those that are not. So be ready, keep watch. And we read earlier, didn't we, about the Israelites in Egypt. How seriously should they have taken that command to keep vigil or keep watch, keep guard that night with bags packed, eating standing up, not leaving their dough out to rise, but taking it with them, ready to go at a moment's notice? Are you ready to go at a moment's notice? That is the question we need to ask. The necessary preparations being made by our Lord. The blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of our home? No, the blood of Jesus on our hearts. Are you keeping watch? Are you ready? Have you accepted this reality that you and I have sinned, we deserve God's judgment, and that judgment is near? Summer is near. But Jesus died, he rose again, so that looking on his death, God would pardon you and I. He would pass over our sin. The necessary preparations are these. Do you trust in Jesus' death on your behalf? And do you long for his return? If you can answer yes to both of these, then you are ready. You are ready. So stay watchful. Jesus is near. Now, there are some of us who might be thinking, yes, I'm ready, but I'm not sure that my friends, my family, those around me are ready. Can I invite you to join with me in prayer for those people? Join with me in reaching out in whatever way we can to those around us that they might be ready to. I'm going to pray now for us in this room and those out there that not just us here, but we all might be ready for Jesus' return. Will you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done for us in Jesus, that he died on the cross, that whoever would trust in him would be ready for his return. Lord, we do pray for those among us or those who are in our family, friends, our network of relationships that don't yet know you, Lord. It worries us that they are not yet ready, but we do pray for them that they would see the truth of the gospel, that they would see that summer is near, that Jesus is at the door, and Lord, that they would turn and trust in him. Please give us the words to say as we're around them. Please help us have words for them in those moments that they might know the truth, turn to Jesus and be saved. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.